This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound?
So I guess this is a little bit for the press. So I just wrote this down very quickly about the Pope. Do you want to hear it? Should I read it to you? Okay. He actually said that maybe I'm not a good Christian or something. It's unbelievable, which is really not a nice thing to say. So it's a response from Donald Trump. It says, if and when the Vatican is attacked by ISIS. You know, ISIS, their primary trophy, very few people know this. I read this about 2 months ago. Nobody even believed it. Their primary thing, you've seen what they've done all over the Middle East. Their primary goal is to get to the Vatican. That would be their ultimate trophy. They want to do what they did to all of these magnificent artifacts and all of the beautiful museums that they've totally destroyed all over the Middle East, right? There, and I didn't know this. I read this like 4 or 5 months ago. I made mention of it 2 months ago. And everyone said, what are you talking about? They thought, like, I'm kidding. It's true. And now there are stories about it. Not big stories, but there are stories about it. And I was checked by one of the reporters that said, they don't want to talk about them. Then he called up and apologized. The big thing, they want to get to the Vatican. So, if and when the Vatican is attacked by ISIS, which, as everyone knows, is ISIS's ultimate trophy, I can promise you that the Pope would have only wished and prayed that Donald Trump would have been president. Because, it's true. Because this would not have happened. ISIS would have been eradicated, unlike what is happening now, with our all-talk, no-action politicians. That's what's happening now.
Well, wow. You know, a bit of a surprise there, the Pope chiming in. But, you know, that's Donald Trump. I mean, he is a magnet for attention, isn't he?
Definitely. Donald doesn't mind the Pope saying that. He loves that.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's free advertising for him.
Exactly.
Everybody that comes out and says, you know, Trump this, Trump that, he loves that stuff.
Oh, without a doubt. And like you said, it just definitely puts the spotlight on him all the more. Again, it kind of suggests, like with global warming, that the Pope's aides are really not serving him well. First of all, to, you know, say, hey, yeah, go ahead and talk about Donald Trump, but let's have the full body and understanding of what, you know, what he's suggesting here. And, you know, to have a wall, a protective wall, a boundary, any nation has that. We're just, you know, probably the only nation that just leaves our borders wide open and, blight our own treasury.
To have it come from a person that lives in a city state that is completely surrounded by a wall is a little bit awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the comparison to say that he's not a Christian because he builds walls and, you know, it's, I think that's a worldly expression and perception. I mean, probably the best thing the Pope could have done was, you know, make Donald Trump say 10 Hail Marys and, you know, 10 Our Fathers, send him off out of the confessional and forgive him his sins, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, this Trump's only going to turn this into a positive for himself, like he does with most things. He'll adjust what he says and how he says it, and he'll come out looking he'll come out on the better end of it.
Well, and he brings it back, you know, to some historic application because he reminds everybody what ISIS had. See, a lot of people forget what ISIS is saying and what they've said about the Vatican. They would love nothing better than to be able to, you know, walk right in, take over the Vatican. Are you kidding me? The black flag of ISIS over, over all the buildings there in the Vatican? Are you kidding me? This would be a huge jewel for them. And Donald Trump is right, is that when that starts to happen and they start to come in mass to the Vatican, I don't think they're going to be calling Hillary Clinton or any of the Benghazi team. I mean, they would wish that Donald Trump, I'm sure Donald Trump would take care of business, no doubt about it. 4 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez. We're live.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, it comes to me direct, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. As we continue to, help you out with the heavy lifting here Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern, keeping you on top of what's going on. And, joining in on the conversation, you are invited here. You're part of the family. So, let's have a good conversation, especially with what's going on, with Apple fighting FBI demands to unlock a terrorist iPhone. And here to help us is Patrick Wood, author and lecturer who studied elite globalization policies since the late 70s. Patrick, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, Pat, this whole controversy, over this hacking, and of course Tim Cook says, this is going to be impossible. We got to do all this, and then yesterday we've got McAfee chiming in saying, hey, we can do that lickety split. I got a bunch of guys here with tattoos and iron rods in their heads, and they don't take showers every day, and they can figure this thing out in lickety split time.
Well, the federal intelligence community, like the FBI and the CIA and so on, they've been trying to talk tech companies into providing a backdoor into, all these different devices and stuff, like cell phones. That's just one thing, but that's an important one. And they've used all kinds of excuses to do that, like little pressure points over time. And the tech industry has resisted opening up a backdoor for the government. And I'm thankful that they have, honestly. If the government can get in through a backdoor, so can criminals and hackers. We just don't want that. We want our vendors to give us secure products. So there's one angle to this story that the FBI is trying to lever this terrorist attack to force Apple, as just a case, a case study, to force them to open up a backdoor to that Apple phone that was carried by the terrorist. And Apple is saying, no, we're not going to do that. And, if we do it, if we do actually open up the code, it'll just blow the whole thing wide open. And it's very proprietary, of course, to Apple anyway.
Exactly.
So, we're glad that Apple is doing this. On the other hand, Apple hasn't been very good on privacy issues for some time anyway. But on this issue, we side with them.
Right, right. Well, I think therein is the dynamic tension between the two, is that you've got terrorist activity. The FBI would love to be able to get into that terrorist iPhone, and, they're just sitting there staring at the iPhone. They can't seem to break the code and get into it, which, kind of surprises me in and of itself, is that with all the intelligence that the FBI supposedly has, You know, how can they not be able to do this without, just in the back room somewhere without getting Apple involved?
Well, you're absolutely right. And I don't know that there's definitive proof that the FBI could actually do this, but my sense is they could. And my second sense is that they're using this as a lever point to force the technology companies to open up a backdoor for the government. You know, I think it's as much a political thing as it is really a substantive thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, I think McAfee brought some balance to that by saying, hey, look, we can do this ourselves. In fact, if I can't do it, I'll eat my shoe is what he told Neil Cavuto. And
exactly.
So there's no doubt in his mind. So that lends more credence to, what you and I are saying is that, again, our government's not going to waste a good crisis. And they see this as a leverage point, as you say, a pressure point, in order to get what they want, just to be able to bull in, get me the information. And, much the same way when you're being interviewed and somebody says, oh, give me the code to your Facebook. Oh, I want the password to your Facebook, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, the iPhone has an interesting feature in it, in that if you try to guess what the code is, the access code to the phone is, if you put that in too many times, the phone will automatically wipe itself. And in other words, just erase everything inside the phone. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying to get Apple to crack for them, because they know if they just sit there and dink with it for a little bit, it's going to wipe the phone out. But on the other hand, you figure there's got to be engineers who can start taking the screws out of the phone, taking it apart, take the memory chip out, put it somewhere else and read it,
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, as one expert said that, the FBI should be able to ascertain the password within a day, and it would take just over 13 minutes to hack a four-digit password and just over 22 hours to hack one that has six digits. So there's already, calculus on this that we're not talking a lot of time, but like you say, the Mission Impossible built-in destruction device is fed into the phone, and all is lost there.
Exactly. And this also underscores the trend in technocracy in general to want to know all the information in the system. They want to know everything about everything all the time. And we see little hints of this, like in this story. They just can't leave hidden data alone. They've got to get their hands on it. And it doesn't matter whether it's your financial records or whether it's your social media records or your cell phone records. They want it all the time. And it's like, guys, chill out here. You don't need everything all the time.
Exactly. And this is what we're dealing with today. Like you said, it's been a slow creep. All things considered, but technocracy being what it is, I say slow creep, but it's now starting to run, pretty rapidly, like any process. I say you crawl before you walk, before you run, and we're beyond the crawling stages when it comes to technocracy, clearly. And they're starting to get to a full sprint here.
Well, technology advances at an increasing rate over time. We know that things that used to take 10 years to happen now take a year. And it's just everything is accelerating. The level of technology, the sophistication, it's all accelerating at an accelerating pace. So, 5 years from now, we can expect to see as much forward progress in this whole thing as we might have seen in the last 15 years. That's just the way, that's just the nature of the, of the game.
Well, Patrick, so what do we do? What is the everyday citizen, write our congressman, keep the pressure on. I mean, in this case, you're hearing, a positive, I guess you could say a positive backlash from the people, for Tim Cook, as you say, echoing what you said earlier, that thank God, although in the past Apple has been suspect, in this case, they got it right and the people are supporting them.
Well, they are. And, we always talk about writing your congressman or writing your senator. And I suppose that's something that we should do. We should stay in touch with them. But you ought to support people in the tech industry, like Tim Cook, on this issue at least. There's other issues you might not support him, but on this issue, you could write him a letter and say, we support you on this. And there's other organizations that defend privacy. on the internet and privacy and technology, like the Electronic Frontier Association, and you can support groups like that as well.
Okay, Patrick, we got to go to break. Stay right there. It's 14 minutes after. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
This February,
when the Messiah comes, Rome will be nothing.
Prepare to witness the miracle that changed the world forever.
The Nazarene city rise again after 3 days. We will lose peace and order if it's true.
Through the eyes of a non-believer. Risen, starring Joseph Fiennes.
The tomb is sealed. Guard it with your life.
The most important manhunt in history.
The body has vanished.
His tomb is empty.
Was just beginning.
No more lies. What happened to the body?
The roach, they just exploded.
Risen.
Where does he go?
You tell me.
You're looking for something you'll never find.
Open your heart and see.
Risen. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. For tickets and showtimes, go to risen-movie.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Senator, I want to turn for a second to this debate heating up over privacy versus security. Do you think Apple should be ordered to create technology that can unblock this iPhone belonging to one of the San Bernardino terrorists?
Well, in fact, Apple has been ordered to do so by a magistrate judge. This particular iPhone 6 was owned by the county, and the county has supported this legal action Absolutely, this should be able to be done. Last year, I wrote a letter to Tim Cook after in judiciary we had the Attorney General before us, and he made a very strong and cohesive statement as to why this should happen. And now we've had this terrorist act in my state where 14 people were killed, and there is a phone encrypted that could yield additional information. And I believe that as a government, we have every responsibility and duty to see that Apple provides that information. And here we have the first court order of a phone owned by the county in which a terrorist act has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe very strongly that this that Apple should voluntarily agree to it. In the event that doesn't happen, Senator Burr, the chairman of our Intelligence Committee, myself as vice chairman, we are prepared to put forward a law which essentially would require that. I think the public safety, the national security of this country makes eloquent testimony as why this should happen.
Well, California Senator Dianne Feinstein arguing her case, from the legislative side and perspective. Our conversation continues with Patrick Wood here on Bill Martinez Live, just about 21 minutes after the top of the hour. Patrick, that's the point here. I think it does become, a little bit more complicated when you have, it's not somebody's private phone. It happened to be, in this case, it belonged to the county.
Well, it really doesn't matter who. The issue is not who really owned the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the feds are using it as an excuse to break down the barriers that the tech companies have thrown up against them to invade privacy. I think that's really the overarching issue.
Right.
And when you hear people like Dianne Feinstein stand up and, spout off like this, as you look a little bit below the surface, for instance, with Feinstein in particular, you find out that she has, for many, many years, was a member of a very elitist trilateral commission who has, by and large, sponsored technocracy over the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. And brought it to where it is today. And so for her to stand up and say, we're putting the pressure on Apple to break it down, it just reinforces my thought that the government is just trying to really bully the technology companies into giving up these secrets. And giving up our secrets, too.
Exactly.
It's not just, I want to see what's inside that terrorist phone, but not at the expense of everybody else in the country, having their data exposed.
And I think that's what people need to hold into perspective here, Patrick, is on one side, this is the conflict. Like you say, we'd love to have it, but, at what expense? Is there some other way we can access it without compromising everybody else? And I don't know how to make that happen.
Yeah, I think I feel almost certain, having been in the tech industry for many years myself, that the government has engineers that can break that phone down into little pieces and find and dig out every conceivable thing that it has. But they, for whatever reason, they're not doing it. They're using this as a public display to bully Apple into rewriting its security software. And giving
exactly.
them a back door.
And opening up the door, as you say, to allow technocracy to gain another mile into our private lives.
That's exactly right. And it's already legal in some places, by the way, for the police to ask for your cell phone when you get stopped by a traffic cop.
Mm-hmm.
In some places, you have to give your cell phone to them, and they can analyze your cell phone right on the spot. Now, and they have equipment and stuff that can read the contents of cell phone. You can hack cell phones in, externally through Wi-Fi and through Bluetooth mm-hmm. and stuff.
Right.
And so the police already do have some tools. And if you're stopped and you have to give up your cell phone, they might find a lot of other things that have nothing to do with the traffic stop.
Exactly. Well, as, to make mention of, technocracy's encroachment into our private lives, it leads us into our next topic that you featured on your website, Patrick, that regarding the Pentagon's secret pre-crime program to know your thoughts and predict your future. What is this about?
Wow, you know, this is stranger than fiction, isn't it? But yeah. It isn't, though. When I pick these stories for technocracy.news so that people can actually see what's going on, not just what I say is going on, but what they say is going on. This is what other people are writing.
Right.
And in this case, they're talking about using artificial intelligence software to analyze your social profiles and all, you know, known data that's on you, like, you know, Twitter and Facebook and other social media, to analyze that, collect and analyze that data and come up with a psychographic profile on you that they believe will actually can be used to predict your future. This is just reminiscent of the movie Minority Report.
Right, exactly.
You know, where pre-crime was the thing. Arrest them before they commit the crime. You know, this is crazy. And it's so full of possible errors that it's not even funny, obviously. You know, if you can make any sense out of somebody's social media, you know, I've read a lot of stuff in social media. Some of these people are just out of they're really just out of their minds. They're rambling. Yeah.
You know, Patrick, just as a sidebar, a friend of ours, John Niednagel, who he's been very instrumental in brain typing. He's taken the Myers-Briggs study to a whole other level, and he's been doing this for over 30 years and has been known in professional sports circles. He consults the Boston Celtics, and he was known early on for his recommendation to the San Diego Chargers to hire one Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf. Because he brain typed Manning, had predicted his performance. And the interesting thing about this type of brain typing and characteristic of Peyton Manning is 40% of the people with those characteristics, you know where they are?
Where?
They're in jail. And so we're talking guys with, you know, like the Michael Jordans of the world, the Shaquille O'Neals, you know, that type of performance, brain typing that he predicts. So to your point, you know, they had this information and psychographically and say, well, Patrick, you know, you're part of that brain typing here where 40% of your like are in jail. So we're going to put you in jail before you do yourself any harm.
Well, I know that's kind of the implication of this whole thing when. It may not actually result in that, but the idea that they're spending taxpayer money to figure out how to analyze us in order to do things to us is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go do that stuff, go raise your own money. You know, it's a free country, right?
That's what researchers do, though, and especially once they have their, you know, their talons into the public dole in the treasury like this. They get some people listening. To, hey, wouldn't it be great if we knew this? You got any budget over there? We can throw this in. Oh yeah, we've got about $1 billion just sitting over here that we got to do something in the next several months, or we're going to lose it. Yeah, let's tie it into that. Why not?
That's exactly what happens. And you know, there probably ought to be a national discussion as to whether or not we want to use taxpayer money to hose the taxpayers. You know, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but the paradigm is so well established. I mean, you know, Patrick, I mean, that's the bureaucracy in which we live in. And this is why America is so angry, because they just know something is wrong. They can't quite put their finger on it because it's so complex. This has been something that they have developed over the years. That how do you start to attack this thing, right?
Well, I know. And we're trying to find little ways as well on technocracy.news. And I hope people can follow along there. And they might get some tips along the way.
Well, and definitely be aware, because that's where it all starts. It starts with education. And in this age of technology in which we live in, that's moving at rapid fire speed, you got to catch up, ladies and gentlemen. You got to know what's happening or you're going to be entrapped. It's 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
This is brought to you by Takeda Pharmaceuticals. The tradition of making new goals and resolutions each year to lose weight is nothing new. We all know that making those resolutions and keeping them are two very different things. Medical Director of the Wellness Clinic at the University of Colorado, Anschutz Health and Wellness Center, and Medical Director on the docuseries Extreme Weight Loss, Dr. Holly Wyatt, comments.
In a time when you might be struggling to carry out your weight loss resolutions, it's important to remember that you're not alone. Schedule an appointment with your healthcare professional. They can help you create a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Dr. Wyatt recently helped launch Resolve Now, Stay Ahead of the Curve, a new campaign designed to empower overweight or obese women to take action now and talk with their doctor about a weight loss plan. Visit iResolveNow.com for tips from Dr. Wyatt on how to stay motivated in your weight loss journey. Learn about different treatment options and participate in a cartoon caption contest for a chance to win prizes to help you reach your weight loss goals.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Get live and coming at you 28 minutes after, or I should say 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and we've got a doctor who makes house calls on the radio, and he's here with us right now, Dr. Leonard Zwelling. His book, Red Kool-Aid, Blue Kool-Aid, How Partisan Politics and Greed Undermine the Value of Obamacare. Now, one thing I will say before we get into this conversation with Dr. Zwelling, he is board certified in internal medicine and medical oncology, has cared for patients and done laboratory research for most of his 40-plus year medical career. So you know that his heart is toward taking care and providing health care for his patients. And his response to, you know, what happened, what could have happened with Obamacare and why it's being undermined is important. You need to hear what he has to share with us. Dr. Zwelling, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. Your book, Red Kool-Aid, Blue Kool-Aid, boy, the partisan divide and, you know, the greed and, you know, the ego that was on demonstration, you know, for Obamacare. It was a disaster just to begin with the way it was set up. And this is why people are so bothered by it. And especially now that we're living the reality, things we were warned about, you know, actually higher fees, not less. Not keeping the same doctor, you know, although we were promised to. I mean, you know, one lie after another, you know, it's on full display here.
Be true. Yeah. The idea that you weren't, that there was going to be no effect on people who were happy with the health care was preposterous from the very beginning. Once you start tinkering with the process, you're going to change things. There's no way that doesn't happen. That's basic economics.
Mm-hmm. And to be so bold to take something that what represents a sixth of our economy?
That's right.
I mean that is huge, and to open that whole body up, if we can say in cancerous terms, you know, was very dangerous. And then not only to do that, but you kind of did it. You did it in a way that says, okay, we're going to marginalize half of the people's, you know, representation in this whole process and say, just because you're wearing the wrong lab coat, you're not able to participate.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. And that's exactly what the book is about. The book stresses how the bill came to be, which was really an economic deal more than it was anything else, between the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical industry, and the large hospitals. The doctors were pretty much left out of it. And frankly, the fact that it's called Obamacare is fairly preposterous, because the White House had very little to do with the final gist of the bill. It really was more a product of the Congress and the lobbying efforts of the lobbyists more than anything else. It really wasn't. It was not passed in what is called regular order, which would entail the bill being discussed in committees in both houses of the Congress, the bill being reported out to the floor. If the bills didn't match, it's supposed to go to conference committee. That never happened. And the reason it didn't happen is Teddy Kennedy died, Scott Brown took his seat, the Democrats lost their 60-vote majority. We're down to 59. They weren't going to be able to block a filibuster, so Nancy Pelosi took the Senate version of the bill and rammed it through the House. Now, that's not regular order. That's not the way this is supposed to go. And I think most people are unaware that's how the bill got passed.
Yeah, that is amazing to me. And I know you talk all around the country with people, and just you know, I find it quite interesting, and maybe just because I'm so close to it, that people are still so ignorant about how it was passed. And even Nancy Pelosi's statement to me, which, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and I hear her voice saying, "You got to pass the bill to find out what's in it." And she's all gleeful and excited. And you go, "You got to be kidding me."
You got to see that on YouTube if you really want to appreciate it. Well, I think that's exactly what happened. I think the bill was so complicated, so big. And of course, one of the things that most people don't know is when a bill is written, it's not written in English. It's written in legislative language, which is mostly legalese. And it's not easy to read the 2,400 pages or whatever it is.
Right.
So most of the members of the Congress haven't read the bill. They just voted for it. And I think it's not surprising, therefore, went down straight party lines. And that the most important piece of social legislation passed in the last 50 years had not a single Republican vote. Now, that's not consensus. You can't do that.
Exactly.
It's something that affects a sixth of the economy. That's just not going to work.
And like you say, you know, so few read it. I think it's estimated at less than 10%. And I got to tell you, Dr. Zwelling, I tried reading it. And in the first five pages, my head was about ready to explode.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It was like point counterpoint. I mean, you're reading something, it tells you one deal, and then the next statement, the very next sentence contradicts what you just read, and you go, "Wait a minute, what happened?" And you just, you know, you're like in a bucket of gum.
The most effective lobbyists on the Hill, and I guess your listeners should know that I worked on the Hill as a physician.
Yes.
I was there as a Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellow. And I was actually a member of the staff of the Senate. And what would happen is the lobbyists would walk in with the legislative language they wanted inserted in the bill. And the most effective lobbyists, those that had the longest standing relationships with particularly the Democratic side, got their language in the bill. It shouldn't be surprising then that there are pieces in the bill that don't agree with one another.
Right. Amazing. Well, why would President Obama, I mean, this is his legacy. Why would he turn over his legacy, to these bureaucrats like this?
Well, I think that's pretty much how Washington works. Remember, the bureaucrats are there for 20 and 30 years. The presidents are there for no more than 8. So the people who actually run the government, the permanent government of the United States, is made up of people who were not elected to office. The notion that we have an actual representative government is a bit of a stretch. Because the people in all those executive departments who actually implement the laws are paid employees of the federal government who have been there for years. And they resist change like crazy, because any change is going to jeopardize their security. So for the most part, the government doesn't vary. Now, if you go back and look at the Constitution, which is a little easier to understand, I might add,
yes,
you will see that the thing was built not to change. Because the thing the founders were most concerned about were factionalism and people entering the government and pulling it too much to the right or too much to the left. So the fact that the government doesn't work efficiently is a good idea. What this bill did is turn the system on its head by using the rules of the Congress to subordinate what should have been done, which was regular order, and that's why we have a bill that makes no sense.
Well,
and that's why the president keeps amending things. He keeps changing things. You know, he delays certain implementation pieces of the bill. In fact, he really can't do that. And when that comes before the Supreme Court, it's not at all clear how that's going to go. These executive orders that he shows, if they address a specific stipulation of the bill that says, no, it's going to happen on June 1st, 2018, he can't make it be June 1st, 2019. That's not within his power.
Well, people are frustrated with Obamacare. They hear repeal, replace. We're not sure what we're going to replace it with, but we definitely are hearing about it being repealed. Out of your book, Red Kool-Aid, Blue Kool-Aid, what is the big takeaway that you want, you know, our audience to, you know, to hold on to?
The takeaway is when Hillary Clinton says she doesn't going to go back and have the discussion about health care, my argument in the book is it's never happened. Mm-hmm. We have never had the discussion about health care. Is it a privilege or is it a right? Because once you make that decision, you then can formulate a logical plan to implement whichever of the two you decide. But the country has not had the discussion as to what health care really is. If you ask anybody over 65, they'll tell you it's a right, because I got my Medicare.
Right. Exactly.
So that's the difference. We haven't had the discussion. Hillary Clinton is 100% wrong about not having it again. I would argue we never had it. And in the book, I go into that completely.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for it. Leonard Zwilling, MD, physician, U.S. Senate committee staffer, vice president of the Marilyn Anderson Cancer Center. Excellent book and highly recommended, ladies and gentlemen. Red Kool-Aid, Blue Kool-Aid, How Partisan Politics and Greed Undermine the Value of Obamacare. Thank you so much, Dr. Zwilling. This is Bill Martinez, 19 before the top of the hour. Thank you, sir.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pileski of the Pileski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This report is brought to you by Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo and No Barriers Warriors are teaming up for the third consecutive year to empower veterans through the Warriors to Summits Expedition Series. One of many experiences No Barriers Warriors offers veterans with disabilities to help them overcome obstacles and unleash their full potential. Selected veterans will embark on grueling expeditions to Wyoming, New Hampshire, and Colorado. Through these transformative journeys, participants will push their boundaries while reflecting on their past, recognizing where they are now, and developing a vision for their future. This mental and physical challenge will help veterans make a significant change in their lives. John Toth, Director for No Barriers Warriors.
We're excited to offer three expeditions in 2016 and help transform even more veterans' lives.
To apply for the Warriors to Summits 2016 Expedition Series, or to learn more, please visit warriorstosummits.org. Applications will be accepted through March 4th at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com. 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to Bill Martinez.
Well, look, all you have to remember is just a few words. If I help you, maybe they'll come back to you.
All right.
Say hello.
Hello.
Oh, in Spanish, how are you going to greet them when they get here?
Oh, bonus die.
No, it's not quite that. It's not buenos dias. Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
That's it. Oh, but you can't use it now anyway because it's night outside. You gotta say noches.
Noches.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
That's right. Good. How are you?
Fine. I'm a little nervous.
In Spanish, how are you?
Oh, how are you? How are you? Now, don't tell me.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
That was Ted Cruz in the background that answered that. I mean, what was Marco Rubio saying that he didn't know how to speak Spanish? It's like with Lord time, huh? Tell me about it. What's all that playing that card? That was kind of mean-spirited.
That was really mean. That's probably the debate that I've just gone, oh, my word. You're adult. Just stop it. Talk about the issues, not the slinging hash.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and the thing is, I got to tell you, well, Lauren, and you know, with me being Hispanic, and I speak a little Spanish, understand a lot more. I mean, with our family, the way we were raised, and a lot in our generation, where we had Hispanic parents, they wanted us to assimilate. That was the program. Go in, be a part of the culture, be productive. And do that. It wasn't an abandonment of our culture whatsoever, because I still love mariachis and churros, and
right.
and I'll go to a piñata party any day.
Well, I'm surprised that your parents. So did they say we're going to speak Spanish at home and English when you're out? Or they wanted you to speak English all the time.
They want us to speak English all the time. But and the thing is that's where a lot of us find ourselves, is that we're not as bilingual as we should be. And I get chastised for it. And believe me, they don't even have to chastise me. I'm probably more self-critical about it.
Own it.
Oh, and you know, it's like, you don't need to beat me up anymore. I mean, I've got lessons on my iPhone. I mean, I try to do it. But unless you're immersed in the language, you know, you're not as fluent as you should be. And so, you know, sometimes that's bothersome for people. But, you know, point being is that there's many, you know, like me, I'd say probably, even if the truth be known, probably a majority of Hispanics that aren't that fluent. And, so when we see that, you know, that card thrown out there by Marco Rubio, and I like Marco Rubio. There's a lot to like about him. But when he threw that out there, it was kind of like, oh, you know, like sometimes, you know, when we react out of our own egos, you know, we're less than. And I think it was one of those less than moments that was unfortunate.
It was less than, because you tend to side with the person that's being attacked, and the person that's doing the attacking becomes the person that you don't like.
Right.
So it doesn't help your case at all. And
no.
Everyone, I mean, Ted Cruz is fluent.
Yeah, I mean, he responded very well.
I
was proud of, and so it was like, but the people didn't pick up on that. And of course, the media, you know, they, like you say, they love having the mud going back and forth. But now we got the Pope throwing mud. The Pope. My goodness, Lauren, what's going on here?
Well, I just thought it was not appropriate to say that someone is not a Christian because they want to build walls instead of bridges. And I thought it was really kind of funny that Trump's like, yeah, well, you've got a big old wall around the Vatican.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was like, here. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Hey, was that one of those moments like, hey, before you take the speck out of my eye, let me remind you of the plank that's in yours?
Well, I think for most of us, what we're feeling is you're the Pope. I mean, we've never, I think in my lifetime, known a Pope that would say something like that. That's complete. I mean, it's not credible, and it's not so. Because he wants to protect our borders, that means he's not a Christian. You know,
it's in the Bible somewhere. I'm sure you can find it.
Well, and you're talking about someone being fluent. I don't know that his English is that great. And I'm like, okay, was that what he was meaning to say? You know, now Trump saying, well, he was just the Mexican government had said some things to him, and it was propaganda, and he didn't know the full story. But to be the Pope, every word that comes out of your mouth is important, and people are listening to it, especially the Catholic Church. You're Catholic.
Right,
and I mean,
exactly.
You view him as someone that's, you know, a really godly man. And so I'm sure that for you and other Catholics, that really surprised you. So I'm interested to know what you all are thinking about it as being a Catholic.
Well, I got to tell you, I appreciate that Trump was respectful. He didn't body slam the Pope. I mean, he was respectful and thoughtful in terms of his response. Yeah, he said, look at, you know, when ISIS, who said that you're the crown jewel, the Vatican is the crown jewel, comes knocking at your door, you're going to be glad if I'm on the other end of the phone and you're calling and you need help, right?
Yeah.
Point well taken. I think the other point is that whether it's the Mexican government or the aides that are around the Pope, because we've seen this to be the case here, particularly, you know, whether we're talking global warming and other issues, the Pope's information, his flow of intelligence seems to be very prejudiced. It's not in totality when it comes to political issues. And I think that's, you know, I would hope and pray the Pope would be a little bit more measured on some of these things. And I hope that he takes the response back, you know, in the proper perspective to get a handle on some of these things. Because whether it's global warming or issues like this, and for him to say just because somebody, you know, builds a wall that questions their, you know, their Christianity, it's like, wait a minute, to me that's a non sequitur.
It is. Well, it was ludicrous, and I think Donald Trump said it's disgraceful, which it more than anything, it's just not appropriate, and it's not so. Mm-hmm. And I didn't appreciate it. And, you know, it's interesting because after the last debate, I was really kind of just frustrated with everything. I was frustrated with most all the candidates, and Trump still continues to seem to be a favorite, and I think he handled this well, which once again makes him look even better. It makes the Pope look, you know, less than, and it makes Donald Trump look more than, because people are like, what? You're
right.
Question the man's Christianity because he wants to keep our borders safe, and he wants to keep our borders safe for a reason.
Exactly.
This is not just happening because it's a random thing. It's essential. Something has got to happen to keep America safe, and that's where he's coming from. And I thought it was great that he's like, hey, listen, if ISIS comes after you, you're going to wish I was president. I mean, what
exactly.
is very true, but I think all of us have been shocked that that was even an issue, that the Pope even said that and got involved, especially at a time when things are so heated. And you know what I've noticed? People are so easily led and swayed one way or another. Like, we were at dinner the other night, and one of our family members was expressing how she's feeling about this election. And she was swayed to a certain candidate because of one conversation she had with somebody over the water cooler at work. And I was like, really? You know, so it's like we're all kind of on the edge teetering, and all the information that we hear makes a difference and pushes us one way or another. And so it's critical that we really are studying a lot, that we study these candidates and know what they believe and why they believe what they do, and try to just, I guess, take the times when they're in debate with ease, because it's almost like, you know, is this who you really are?
Right, exactly.
The debate when they're acting, you know, just kind of childish. And I know that word, you know, I don't know another word to choose, but that is what kept coming to my mind when I watched the last debate. And hopefully the caucuses and debates, when we hear from them again from here until the election, it will they will mature and just cut it out, because it's a waste of time for all of us. And it, well, it bothers us.
Right. Well, speaking of the debate, Lauren, have you had a chance to see these town halls that CNN and Anderson Cooper have done?
Flipping through, I need to watch them more, but I'm aware of them.
I'm telling you, Lauren, I mean, kudos to Anderson Cooper, and I have not been necessarily a CNN fan, but I'm so thankful for what they're doing, because these one-on-one town halls, it's giving these candidates that exposure, that, you know, that one-on-one opportunity to address these issues. You know, I'm sure a lot of people saw Jeb, you know, we see the light going out in Jeb Bush's camp, for example. But I got to tell you, last night, there was a little bit of a flicker there. You say, and you can see what the strength of character that this governor's had, why he was so successful as the governor of Florida. He knows his stuff, but he's kind of suffering from, in a lot of ways, self-inflicted wounds, and also the Donald Trump effect. Donald Trump is just, he just takes all the oxygen out of the room, and unless you can step up and measure it and be able to balance it out, you're going to get creamed. And Jeb Bush is just, he's just been overwhelmed by the Trump tornado.
But with the last debate, I just thought he handled everything really well. I mean, in my opinion, better than I've seen him handle things in the past. I thought he came out looking much better. And I think that's great advice for all of us to watch the town hall meetings, because that's a different avenue to see them in. And we can tell more about their heart, because they're not on the chopping block the whole entire time. They're able to share, really, this is what I believe. But the last debate, it's interesting, because Robin, I said, you know, this debate, these people look strong. And this one, these will look strong. But yeah, I just feel like with him, if Jeb Bush would quit having to be defensive, and maybe, like you said, don't let him suck the oxygen out of the room. If they would all just kind of look at him and not participate, and he would see it's not working, but then they take the bait, and then they get engaged, then the others start doing the same thing, thinking that's going to work and make them look stronger, but it doesn't.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is, you know, again, this will continue. We'll see what happens out of South Carolina. Nikki Haley endorsing Marco Rubio. Big, big endorsement for Marco yesterday. Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. And Robin is home trying to fix your daughter's hair. And don't leave, you know, my daughter's same way. Don't let Dad comb my hair. I could never get that line straight. It didn't matter, you know.
Well, he does better than my dad. When my dad tries to do her hair, I mean, she looks like, you know, something out of Rocky Horror Picture Show. And so at least with Robin, you know, he kind of does a spit and brush, and it works a little bit better.
Spit and brush. That's what I needed. Hey, say goodnight, Lucy. It's all time to wrap up here right now. Hey, we'll see you later. All right. Love you, man. Take care. All right, bye.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.